Does God want a separation of church and state? Should Christians be voting biblical principles? Does it really matter who you vote for? Join Pastor Jerry Cook as he endeavors to answer these and many other questions over the next hour on Politics in the Pulpit. And now, Pastor Jerry Cook.
Good afternoon and welcome to Politics and the Pulpit here on your hometown station, 98.1 FM and AM 1220. This is your holy host, Pastor Jerry Cook. Feeling good today, as I said to you last week, finally getting over this head cold that has kept me in a barrel for the last week and a half. But unfortunately, because I live with my family and they can't keep their hands off me, my 11-year-old son now is not feeling all that great. But that's the way it is, right? In a good family situation, we just pass that sickness along to everybody because we want to reach out and touch somebody. We have a great show lined up for you today. At the bottom of the hour, we are going to be visited by Lucy Volotsky, who is running for the State Assembly, the State Senate for the 27th District. And she'll be joining us in studio here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be asking her a bunch of questions about what she's planning on doing in order to win that seat. We've, of course, had all kinds of news break in the last 48 hours here in the nation. And the one major drop that happened Monday afternoon was, of course, the long-awaited Durham report. In fact, I'll bet most of you totally forgot about the Durham report until it dropped. And you're like, oh, that's right. He's supposed to be looking at this whole Trump-Russia collusion thing, right? Well, it finally dropped, and it got about, I'd say, 24 hours, maybe a little bit more airplay on a lot of the conservative outlets. Yes, MSNBC and some of the other outlets also reluctantly talked about it, brought in Peter Strzok and some of these guys to talk about it. But essentially, what Durham concluded is what we all assumed all along. In fact, not just assumed, we asserted with a pretty decent sense of certainty that we knew a lot of this was, for lack of a better term, trumped up. And really, it goes back to 2016, actually just prior to 2016, when then Trump came down those escalators, and I think it was in June of 2015 or July of 2015, and just, you know, made his announcement and sounded much like a, you know, a bull in a china closet and just breaking everything up the way he was making his announcement. It was totally unorthodox. It didn't sound like any announcement we'd heard heretofore. And many of us, even yours truly, thought to himself, this guy's not going to make it at all. I mean, this guy is not articulate. He doesn't have the savoir-faire, if you will, to use a French term. He just doesn't have it. But yet, he ended up trouncing the competition on the Republican side. I mean, 18, 19 people were in the field at that time, including the esteemed Jeb Bush, who, of course, was the heir apparent to the throne, at least, according to the Republican establishment. And you had Chris Christie, and you had Marco Rubio, and you had Ted Cruz, and you had all these guys vying for the Republican nomination, and Donald Trump just totally trounced them all in this very unorthodox manner of debating. He didn't debate like anybody else debated. And then, once he finally secured the nomination, we were all on pins and needles thinking, obviously, Hillary Clinton, with all the years of expertise she has behind her, first lady, you know, having been married to Bill Clinton, has all the connections to all the insiders on the Democratic side, including some on the Republican side. We thought, Trump is going to lose his rear end in November of 2016, and I'll be honest with you, I remember that evening, November of 2016, I said to my wife, give me dinner, I'm going to go upstairs, I'm going to go to bed a little early. And I did, I ate dinner, I went to bed a little early, and about an hour or so as I was sleeping, my wife comes into the bedroom and says, you've got to get up and see this. And it was right around the time that they were reluctant to call Florida, and it's amazing what ensued that evening. It was one of the greatest political upsets in all of political history, for the United States of America at least. And if you remember when 2020 happened and Trump lost to Biden by supposedly 8 to 9 million votes, if you remember in the wake of that election, all the Republicans who went on to all of the alphabet channel news networks like MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, they were all asked before the interview would even continue, do you believe that Donald Trump lost the election and Joe Biden won? That was the acid test for even continuing with the conversation on these alphabet networks. But in reality, this whole Trump-Russia collusion plot predated 2020, obviously, and it really has its origins in the Democrats not accepting the 2016 presidential victory. Now, as I said at the outset, I doubted whether or not Trump could actually pull it off against Hillary Clinton, but he did, having won several what we would call blue states or purple states, and putting them in the red column is what did it for him in 2016. But I've got a clip here that our board operator Shane's going to play here in just a second of Hillary Clinton. This is about 2 years after she had lost the race to Trump, and she was asked in a forum about the 2016 victory of Trump. And here is what Hillary Clinton said.
As I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign, you can even become the nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you.
Well, who is the election denier now? And listen to the crowd. The crowd was completely on her side. The crowd completely agreed with her. And we're the election deniers. Now think about this. During this whole Trump-Russia collusion plot for 2.5 years, America was divided in such a major way. I believe that the media played the most pivotal role in dividing America than Trump and his rather interesting persona did. Now, I'm not going to doubt, and I'm not going to say to you that Trump didn't contribute to some of it, because he does have a quite an interesting polarizing personality. You either like him or you lump him, okay? There's just no two ways about it. Like I said, he was unorthodox. I didn't think he was going to win the nomination. I didn't think he was going to win the presidency. I wasn't on his side even at the beginning. I was on Cruz control, and then I wanted somebody else when Ted Cruz didn't get it. And so I reluctantly voted for Trump in 2016. I was pleased by his 4 years. He was definitely far more conservative than I thought he would be. And I was amazed at how much he was able to accomplish with all of the political headwinds that he was facing. Not only from the Democrats, which came at him hard and fast, specifically with this Trump-Russia collusion, but of course even within, you know, the limp-wristed Republicans on the Republican side, who were also wringing their hands every time Donald Trump burped or farted. The fact of the matter is, folks, he had headwinds like you would not believe. Did George W. Bush have headwinds like him? No. Maybe towards the end of his second term. Did Bill Clinton, did any of these modern presidents in the last 30 to 40 years have the same type of political headwinds that Donald Trump had? I don't think so. I don't remember any president facing so much scrutiny. And then you have to ask yourself this question. What exactly are they afraid of? I mean, if this guy is a bumbling idiot that can't put two words together, what exactly are they afraid of? Why are they trying their darndest to discredit him before the 2024 election? And then there's the curious case of Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, affectionately referred to as Pencil Neck by President Trump. He represents a district here just to the south of us here in Santa Clarita. And every time I see his face, I have to question my Christianity because the man is odd. His eyes are weird, and he is indeed a pencil neck. And Schiff repeatedly went on these alphabet channels from 2016 on, specifically 2017 on, and was always talking about supposed Russian evidence right out in the open. Here he is on an MSNBC show basically making that claim in 2017. Shane.
Can you agree that there has been no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy that has been presented thus far between the Trump campaign and Russia?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy in plain sight.
There he is. Pencil Neck says there is Russian collusion in plain sight. Now, I'm still waiting. That was 2017. It's now May of 2023. We're on the backside of the Durham report. We're on the backside of the Mueller report, you know, 3 years at least from the Mueller report. And I'm still waiting for Adam Schiff to apologize or at least show us the evidence that he said was out in the open. Let me tell you what I think these guys were trying to do, and in fact, to a certain degree, accomplished what they were trying to do. And it's a biblical principle that was outlined for us 2,000 years ago by that great individual, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. He said this, quote, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." And you know what we saw for 3 out of those 4 years, really all 4 years, to be completely honest with you, and it continues on today because Trump is running. We are seeing people on both sides of the political aisle, mainly the leftist side, but yes, there are some on the right, that are trying to divide this kingdom, the United States of America, and essentially turn the United States of America into the divided states of America, which for all intents and purposes, we have become, and to bring every city and every individual house divided. There were people that were Trump supporters, that were not Trump supporters, that would not even break bread at the same table during the 4 years of the Trump administration. There were people that I thought were my friends that did not continue to be my friends just because I voted for Donald Trump. Now again, I'm not sitting here telling you that I approve of everything that Trump ever did. And I'm not saying that I agree with everything he always says and the way he says it. But I am saying to you that the media and the political partisans in both sides of the parties, Democrats and Republicans, played a huge part in dividing families against families, friends against friends, states against states, cities against cities. There is no doubt. And if you think, if there's even a hint that it looks like Trump is going to win the presidency in 2024, I can't even imagine what they are going to try to do if all of these filings in court and the suing and whatever else is going on with Trump in Georgia and New York and in other places, what if these things don't accomplish the end result that the left wants? Well, there's only one thing that they can do. And I don't want to be the guy to say it, but I guess you just kind of cancel him. And whatever that means, right? Now, one last thing I want to say about this whole Russian collusion hoax and the Durham report, and the fact that essentially the Durham report exonerates Donald Trump on all of this, and many of us who basically said that this was just a bunch of, you know, a stinking pile of dung from the day it came out, is, think about this. They could not, the establishment in both parties, could not abide the fact that an outsider, somebody who was not part of the political class, was able to swing an election his way. That was so infuriating to the political classes on both sides of the political aisle that an average Joe, I get it, I understand, he's a billionaire, he had a TV show, he was a, you know, a TV guy for years, you know, showed up on in a cameo for Home Alone, all that stuff. I get it. I know. But when you think of Mitt Romney in 2012, you couldn't get past the fact that he was a millionaire and a billionaire because he looked it. But for some reason, we kind of gave Trump a pass on this whole thing because he seemed so blue-collar in a lot of ways. I guess it was his tone and the way he talked. He sounded more like my neighbor next door rather than the you know, the venture capitalist that is looking at my portfolio. And so they went into overtime to discredit the fact that this average guy that had no political, you know, no political aspirations prior to this other than, you know, running in the Reform Party, which didn't last. I think that was 3 seconds. How dare this guy win? And they went into overdrive, and this Trump-Russia thing went for 3 years. Folks, you know what they're trying to tell you? You know what they're trying to say? Is unless you're part of the political underbelly of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, you have no business running. And how dare you think you can win against us? Folks, there's no doubt about it that that's one of the things they're trying to send in terms of a message. If you win against us, we will hound you until the day you die or the day that we make you die. And that is essentially what they're doing with Trump. They are hounding him and hounding him and hounding him. And let me also say that some of it might be his own fault. You know, he tends to talk more than he should. But I think most of it is because they saw this as a political affront and were so offended that all of their expertise was thrown into the toilet with a pile of dung and flushed. And this guy from Queens, New York, this blue-collar billionaire, ends up winning against the esteemed Hillary Clinton. Well, that's what Pastor Cook thinks, and you can sound off on your own. But when we come back here on Politics in the Pulpit, we are going to shift gears and not shift completely. We're still going to talk about 2024, but we're going to talk about one of the candidates for state senate here in California, and that is Lucy Velotsky, and we'll be asking her several questions. So please come back here on Politics in the Pulpit on your hometown station. From the 1950s. Welcome back to Politics on the Pulpit. This is your holy host, Pastor Jerry Cook, here on your hometown station, 98.1 FM and AM 1220. And I only play that theme song only to set the tone and to segue to our guest today, who is Lucy Velotsky. And I've known Lucy now for a little over 3 years and had the pleasure of voting for Lucy at least one time. And I know what my choice was back in 2020. But I really think that Lucy needs to really play up this I Love Lucy thing, because I think folks that meet Lucy love Lucy. Lucy Velotsky, say hello to the folks out there on Politics in the Pulpit.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here today. Thank you, Pastor Jerry Cook, for having me today. And I'm going to tell you I love that team. I love Lucy.
Of course you do. And I think that you should play that everywhere you go. And I think your poster should say, "We love Lucy." So,
well, we are working on it.
Well, good. By the way, if you're listening and you just tuned in, we're talking to Lucy Velotsky. And if you detected any kind of an accent, that's because she has one.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't notice this, but I'm just letting people know. How many languages do you speak, Lucy?
Well, frankly, like French. Of course, it's my...
You speak J'ai un ami.
J'ai un ami.
Okay, mes papitons.
Of course, English. I speak pretty good Spanish. And also...
Si.
Yes.
Wow.
Si me puede.
Wow.
And also, I do... kind of very well also in Hebrew. My husband is from Israel, then I kind of learn a little bit to speak and
you can speak the language of circumcision.
Yeah, I guess
just a little off the top. All right, very good. All right. Well, Lucy, why did you decide to run for the state senate and for the 27th district?
Well, I've been running for the last 4 years. Uh-huh. I've been, it's like you plant a seed. And what I have been doing so successfully, mm-hmm. that the 4 years, all the city have been, mm-hmm. fantastic for me. Mm-hmm. I met great people. And, of course, I didn't want to go back to a state assembly or Congress for one reason. The state, Sacramento, needs me. Mm-hmm. What's happening in our state, we have to save it. Mm-hmm. And it's the only way we can do it. It's people like me.
Yeah.
Because I'm very strong, I'm ready to go, and I'm really ready to beat the odds against these people what is destroying our country,
yeah.
and our state.
Now, Lucy, you were originally born in Canada, is that correct?
That's correct.
And how long were you in Canada?
Well, I was there for 30 years.
30 years. And how long have you been a resident here in California?
Almost 38 years.
Okay, so longer here than you were in Canada.
That's correct.
All right. Now, if I did my math correctly.
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, all right. I'm pretty good with math. Been here for 38 years. You've been a citizen of California for all of those 38 years, right? You haven't been anywhere else.
That's correct.
All right. What brought you to California?
Well, just to visit a friend, uh-huh. and quickly I met who is my husband today after uh-huh. 38 years, built a business for uh-huh. 38 years, I have 4 beautiful kids, and I'm a grandma of 4 children.
And by the way, I think you kind of glossed over that, but I want to just press on that. You're a successful, along with your husband, business owner here in California.
That's correct, yeah. We started with nothing, mm-hmm. in the indoor swap meet, mm-hmm. and with time we grow, and we end up for a time to have 5 retail front stores that we're selling mattresses, uh-huh. and we still do, by the way. And that was hard work, but you know what? It was the best time in my life,
yeah.
because I raised my children to learn about business and the basic what every kid should know when they grow in the world today.
Yeah. Our board operator here is wearing a KISS shirt, and we were talking a little bit about Gene Simmons, who, of course, was the founding member of KISS. You'd said that Gene Simmons bought a mattress off of you guys, right?
Yes, a long time ago, yes.
Yeah, I can just imagine what he was doing on that mattress. But the fact is, do you have a pastor's, like, coupon for mattresses?
A pastor coupon?
Yeah, a pastor like me, because, you know, I don't make a bunch of money. I'm not like those TV preachers.
Yeah.
Can I buy a mattress off of you?
Oh, anytime.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Of course. You know, you're always welcome.
I need a California king because my wife needs enough room.
Okay. I don't know what kind of discount I'm going to give it to you, but you're always welcome.
I'll talk to Hemi. How about that?
But sounds
anyway.
Good.
Well, listen, we know a little bit of something about Lucy. She's a mom. She's a proud grandmother. She's a wonderful, loving wife. She's a business owner. She's been here for 38 years. How does Lucy Velotsky come to become, how do you come to be a conservative? How were you always conservative in your values? Was that something you learned up in the Canadian area? Or how did that evolution in your thinking happen?
I think it's coming from our parents.
Okay.
My parents, they had a great sense of value, ethic, working, belief to others, to serve others, and at the same time to serve yourself. And I think people have a wrong way to think about socialism, what is socialism and capitalism. Capitalism is not a bad word.
Of course
It's to be very successful what you do in life. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Capitalism doesn't mean to be rich and earn millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's what really you want to bring to own in your life. What you be satisfied with, and not to depend on government. We were 10 children. I have 8 brothers and 1 sister.
Wow!
And my parents never been on the welfare so ever. They work hard. My mom, I remember, she was selling Electrolux vacuum cleaner with a broken foot.
Wow!
Because my father had a stroke, she has to work, but never have tears, go and work hard.
Yeah.
And this is how you become really successful. Yeah, you have to have the strength to battle everything come in front of you. Because if you do and you know that not to give up, you are successful at that point.
Yeah.
This is the way I look at it.
So you learned a lot of your conservative principles from just observing the behavior of your mom and dad.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah.
My father never missed a day of work.
Yeah.
You know, you've always been there.
You know, this thing about socialism, I always like to tell people that the only way for socialism to work is for it to be implemented off of the back of capitalism. Because socialism by itself doesn't have its own money. It has to take money from somewhere. And, of course, it has to take it from capitalistic countries like the United States of America.
That's correct.
But the fact is, if you take away – if I told somebody – you're going to make the same amount of money as this guy over here, and you can't get any higher up the pay scale, at some point that is going to diminish the incentive of people to want to work harder.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
Yeah, we call equity. You know, equality is a different thing. You know, you have the purpose to learn more, to get better, to grow. You have all the opportunity there. The equity stop you to be successful.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the cities that make up the 27th that you are looking to run for state senate. Give me a few of the cities that people on the radio could hear.
Definitely. I have a big part of Ventura County, like Simi Valley and Thousand Oaks.
Okay.
And a part of the LA County, very well known, like where I live, Chatsworth, Willing Hills. We're still going up to Norwalk. North Hollywood by the 101. You know, it's just like it's endless. Tarzana, Encinos.
How many, approximately how many people do you think that district represents?
Well, as a voter roll, it's about 600,000.
Wow, so over 500,000 people.
That's correct, yes.
And who currently is in that state senate seat that you're trying to unseat?
Henry Stern.
Tell us a little bit about that guy.
Well, I don't have much to say because we don't see him. That's what I can say. You know what I'm saying? He just go, and I think it's pretty much on the right end with Newsom.
Uh-huh.
And I think what everything Newsom say, everything goes.
Yeah.
Because when there is any bills passed by them, they all go all along by the party line. I don't never see anybody discussing or do anything, say, hey, I don't like that bill. It's not suitable for certain people. Never. It's just everything they do is a party line bill pass all the time. And that destroy really, really all our middle class, what they've been doing lately. It's awful what they've been doing.
And I'm certain that you would probably agree with me that one of the main issues that is affecting our state right now, I mean, among a whole bunch of issues that are affecting our state, is just parental rights.
That's correct. And it's a very dangerous slap right now. They just voted, again, all the party line, about take away the parental rights that child, a 12-year-old, to take away. The parents has no rights to their children at school.
Yeah.
And this is a very dangerous because a lot of kids, they have no clue what is about transgendering anything, you know. And they can be influenced by that. The parents will not know anything. And what's going to happen, the child will be taken by the social services, and the parents will not see their child again.
Yeah.
And this is a serious case here. We have to take care and really, really to run fast to really reverse that, to do something about it.
Yeah. We're talking to Lucy Velasquez. She's running for state senate in the 27th district. You know, one of the things I was looking at just to kind of prepare myself for the conversation today is I was looking at some of the laws in the various states in the United States about tattoos. Now, I don't have a tattoo. You know, there's people in my church that have tattoos, and you know, people that I know that have tattoos. But I could not believe how restrictive in certain states tattoo laws were. In fact, in most states, you had to be 18 to consent to having a tattoo because of the language. It says, "Well, this is an altering image on your body." Well, if they could only apply that same language to an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old who is thinking about cutting off their boobs as a female or cutting off their man part as a boy, just how life-altering those decisions are, and apply the same principle about tattoos to this.
Correct. But do you remember what you were doing at 12-year-old? Really? You know, it's just how to thinking about the concept to do to do the trans at this age.
When I was 12, I was watching He-Man. That was a great cartoon back
then.
No,
but this is what's happening. The 12-year-old cannot take any big responsibility like that to change the body. First of all, that slow down all the process of grown,
yep,
because all the medication they will have to take. Mentally, they will not be, I think personally, mentally they will be very hurt,
yeah,
because it's too young to make this kind of decision.
Yeah.
If they are older, it's up to them.
Yeah.
I don't have no comment about that.
Yeah.
But not at 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Until 18, I think they shouldn't do any kind of the decision at all.
Yeah, as a pastor, I find it rather insidious that politicians are pushing for younger and younger kids to be able to make these very life-altering decisions. And what's interesting is I was just looking at a couple of headlines before the show today, and the White House press secretary, Jean, whatever her name is, the White House press secretary, she was talking about transgender bills, and she was constantly saying, these are our kids, these are our responsibility. No. They're my kids, right, Lucy? They're your kids. Your kids are your kids. My kids are my... Jerry Jr. is not Lucy Velotsky's kid.
Nobody will own my kids.
Yeah.
They are my children.
Yeah.
Even they are 30 years old, they still would be my children.
Of course.
Then the government has no right to take over of our children.
Sure.
This is what we start to call the dictator.
Yeah.
It's really this dictatorship.
Yeah.
And people, they have to be scared about that because this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's... People, they are too busy with their own life. They, you know, they work hard. They take the kids to school. They pick them up. They try to make dinner. They don't have time to see what's going on inside of the school or anything of the children. And what's happening, so where my child been?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, what happened to him or to her? And this is what happened. The government started to take over as a very young age about the possibility to do anything what they want to do with the children.
Yeah.
And it started now by kindergarten right now.
Yeah.
In the different ways, you know.
No, it is insidious. Yeah. There is no doubt about that. So yeah. Let me ask you this question, Lucy. Again, we're speaking to Lucy Velotsky, who's running for state senate in 2024 in the 27th district. If you were to get elected, by God's grace, Lucy Velotsky gets elected November of 2024, what would be your first priority, or what is your platform now that you're saying, hey, this is what I'll do if you put me in this seat?
I would save our children. Mm-hmm. Our children is our future.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have future for the children, there's nothing left for us.
Yeah.
And even for our country. Because if we don't change California the way of doing things, They always says California is the map for the rest of the country.
It is.
Then we have to reverse that. We have to bring the value back. We have to let the people. Mm-hmm. You are all valuable. Poor, rich, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You have all the chance in the world to be successful. We have to give you the tools. Yeah. They don't want to give you the tools. They want to give you some handouts to keep you quiet and say, just wait for me for the next handouts.
Yeah.
Until everything is over, now we own you.
Yeah.
People, they have to be strong and stand up. Please don't be afraid to stand up and say what you believe. There is a way to approach the people. I don't have pushback hardly from anybody because I try to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Nobody has conversation anymore.
Yeah.
It's just fighting.
The left knows how to appropriate modern-day slavery, and
That's correct.
Is to keep you dependent on the state
Yes.
and less dependent on yourself.
That's correct.
Yeah.
They tried with me in the time of COVID. It didn't work.
During COVID?
Oh, yeah. Yes. That was a big starting point.
I think in a lot of ways, COVID woke a lot of us up.
Yes.
I mean, especially those of us who are conservative politically, we were already suspicious of the government.
Yes.
But then for them to say, we can't have worship services, we can't do this, we can't be with our families, we can only have 3 or 4 people per household. I mean, we started going, this is going nuts, right?
It was nuts.
Yeah, it was going nuts. Yeah. Well, when we come back here on Politics in the Pulpit, we'll wrap it up here with Lucy Volotsky, who again is running for state senate in the 27th district. We'll talk about how you can find her online and how you can help her campaign or maybe even donate financially here on Politics in the Pulpit. We'll be back in just a second. Yes, we love Lucy around here on Politics in the Pulpit. Again, you're listening to your holy host. This is our last segment here with Lucy Volotsky, who's running for state senate in the 27th district. And I wanted to ask Lucy this question. How are you going to get the word out that you're running? And what is your strategy to reach as many people possible in the 600,000 people that you would possibly be representing?
Well, as far to reaching out, I'm very good to go where there is big events, like fair, anything around the fair, market, the market. I go there, I meet thousands and thousands of people.
Sure.
And this has helped me. People like to meet you face to face. Oh, this is you, Lucy. We're so happy to meeting you. It's very important. And, of course, we all know there is Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can always go there, too.
Yeah.
And also, if anybody would like to know a little bit more about me, they can always, go to my website, voteforlucy.com.
VoteForLucy.com.
Yes, it's VOTE for FOR, Lucy, LUCIE.com. And you can always shoot me an email. I will come back to you and invite you for any events I'm going to go for. I'm planning to do a lot of town hall about talking about fentanyl and about the children, what's going on in our school. This is my goal. Then you will hear from me a lot, and I'll try to publicize in the radio if I can at the moment. And, but all the time we all know that it's about donations, and with donation we can go very far.
Yeah.
And if people can donate, that would be great.
Because right now, as of right now, the California GOP has not endorsed you.
No, they're planning to endorse me.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think they will. They will. It's just they have some protocol to follow. That would be mostly by in fall, but in the meantime, I have a lot of people from the state already, like, they want to endorse me, even I don't have on paper right now. This Simi Valley, the city councilman, the mayor, they are behind me, and I think I might have the mayor also from Thousand Oaks. Then I'm having a lot of people around that they really see good things about me that I can help Sacramento, help our people, especially the underserved and the middle class. This is the key of survival today. We need to save the people.
And save the middle class in particular.
Yes.
We had Patrick Lee Gibson, of course, a friend of yours, who's running also for state assembly against Pilar Chavo. And one of the things I told him, and I'll tell anybody this, is do your best to get into as many houses of worship that you possibly can.
Yes.
Because obviously, I would say 90% of those who attend houses of worship are going to be conservative or conservative-leaning in their thinking, unless they're just, you know, some whack job progressive, you know. But I'm assuming most that attend houses of worship are going to be conservative. And I just think it's imperative that folks that are running for state senate, state assembly, Congress, whatever, they need to really engage that faith community. Of course, you know you're always welcome at Freedom's Way. You just show up when you want to because that's Lucy. And you brought Patrick Lee Gibson to us a couple weeks ago that we were able to meet. But I think that's going to be key, is to get that somewhat disengaged community really engaged and behind Lucy.
Oh, definitely. It's a good thing to talk about, and I'm in. I intend to do it, definitely. Yeah. I go to also for Jewish community a lot. I'm very active around this surrounding, and people receive me very, very well.
Let me ask you this question. This is a little out of the ordinary, and I didn't even have this written down, but you're married to a Jewish man. I think you can speak Hebrew pretty decently. Why do you think Jewish people vote Democrat and not in their best interest with the Republican Party that is so pro-Israel?
Well, they stick for a story happened in the time of the World War II. There was a boat, if I believe, they went to New York and they've been sent out. They didn't accept them.
And there was a bunch of Republicans that did that.
Yes, I guess that was at that time it was a Republican president, I do believe. And I think they take this very
personal,
and I thought we are all bad people.
Yeah.
But not because one person make a decision, a wrong decision, that means the rest of the people think the same way.
Yeah.
That is very important to study wherever who run for office or whoever is in office, to make sure to know the person before to make a decent decision, because I think it's important.
Yeah, I think it would be great for you to engage the Jewish community, and you know, maybe even have Hemi go with you if he wanted to, but yeah, to engage those communities and let them know, hey man, you know, if I am able to represent you, I am going to stand up for the Jewish people.
Oh, definitely. But I have a lot of Jewish community; they stand up for me.
That's good.
I have a lot of rabbis that they believe in me, they were there all the time for me, and I know they will continue. I'm having a good selection of people. They know that I'm valuable. Mm-hmm. I believe in myself. The fact I believe in myself, they believe in me. It make a big difference. Mm-hmm. That's this is what's happening.
And again, one last thing: if people want to learn more about Lucy Volotsky running for the 27th for state senate, they would go to
vote for Lucy.com, VOTEFORLUCIE.com. We all know things is difficult now. You know, the economy, we are in deficit with California. I don't understand. We are the fifth larger
economy
in the world. We are the first larger in the United States, and we're losing money. Where is the money goes? You see, we pay taxes and taxes and taxes and endless, and we're still like, what's going on with these people in Sacramento?
I think the majority of the money is going to Gavin Newsom's hair gel.
More than that, I think.
I'm just thinking out loud, Lucy. Oh, I think it might be his hair gel.
Yeah, good at it.
And maybe also to paying his migrant workers on his winery up in
definitely,
Napa.
Definitely, so, definitely.
Well, listen, voteforlucy.com, voteforlucy.com if you want to learn more about Lucy Volotsky. Will you have any kind of thing coming up here? No.
Right now, I'm working on my campaign to be strong in June and a kickoff campaign.
Okay.
People will hear about that.
Well, I definitely want to be there for that, Lucy.
Yeah. Thing is looking good.
So get around, voteforlucy.com. Thanks for listening into Politics in the Pulpit today. This is your holy host, Pastor Jerry Cook. We'll catch you next week on your hometown station.
You've been listening to Politics in the Pulpit with Pastor Jerry Cook. Join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. right here on your hometown station, KHTS. You can also join Pastor Jerry every Sunday at Freedom's Way Baptist Church in Castaic. For more information, find us on the web at www.freedomswaybaptistchurch.com. That's www.freedomswaybaptistchurch.com, or call us 661-714-5650. That's 661-714-5650. Thanks for listening. God bless, and have a blessed day.